You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400. Or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Good morning and welcome to Radio Rehab. We have an exceptional group visiting us today to talk about their stories and share recovery and hope with us. Before we even kick it off, you know at Radio Rehab, I always do Diana Ross's Reach Out and Touch Somebody. But we've got Sheila Ray Charles today. If any of you remember Ray Charles, this is his baby girl, and she has written and sang several songs, which we'll tell you about, and we're going to kick off the program with her song, Behind the Shades. What a way to start the day. You all know what Radio Rehab is. We're not going to spend a lot of time with that. Thanks for tuning in. I want to quickly turn this over to Reverend Adrian and his daughter Micah, who brought us Sheila Ray Charles and their friends to help us in the Evansville community to have hope and direction and some understanding about the addiction issues in our community. Reverend Adrian, thanks so much for bringing Radio Rehab into your fold today.
Thank you, Lisa, and I'm glad to be here. And hello to all of my Evansville natives. I am a native of Evansville, Indiana, and glad to be back in the hometown, the River City. I started an organization called REACH, which means to restore, educate, affirm, cultivate, and help. Our motto is helping humanity holistically through creative programs, training, development. And so about a year ago, I was talking to a friend of mine that was hosting Miss Sheila Ray Charles, and they told her that we should meet each other, and we met over the telephone, and then later my wife and I went to go meet with her, and we hit it off real well. Had a lot of conversation about outreach, and she kind of poured out her heart about reaching those with substance abuse issues, as well as ex-offenders, reentry into society. And so after that, we got together and planned to have some events to bring awareness to it. And I live in Muncie, Indiana. I've married there with five children.
Oh, my goodness.
And I also pastor and work for the county there. And so we were having Sheila Ray there. And then I thought about Evansville, my hometown, which has some of the same issues concerning substance abuse. And so we asked Sheila, would she be willing to come down to Evansville? She said yes. And here we are, Lisa.
And then you got a hold of Deborah Wagner.
I got a hold of Deborah Wagner, which was very easy to do because it's my aunt. It's my mother's sister.
All right.
So I have her phone number and her email.
Here she is, too. Hi.
Hi. How are you today?
Great, Debbie. Thank you so much. So we're all here to hear your story today. And
awesome.
We don't have a lot of time to hear it, but...
Well, you know, I feel very fortunate to be able to go about and tell my story, even though some of the circumstances of my story are very heart-wrenching and very painful. I understand now the purpose of my life, even though if I'm sure that my parents or anybody else in my family, and including myself, if I would have had a choice to live life differently, I would have definitely rather have skipped over many of the pains and hardships that I endured through my addiction, but I also know that I wouldn't be the person today that I am had I not experienced those things and experienced how good God is. Because, you know, in spite of myself, in spite of the things that I went through, God loved me through it all, even when I didn't recognize or have any clue that He was the one holding me and keeping me and saving me for a period such as this, to be able to tell my story to somebody else, to be able to let people know that there's hope in a hopeless situation. You know, when I look back at my life and I look back at the things that I've went through, having such a long time period of being an addict, almost 20 years, I was severely addicted to crack cocaine. And in the process of that addiction, I lost all five of my children. I had three crack cocaine addicted children in that addiction as well. As I told you last night, as we were speaking, I had a son that was so sick when he was born, knowing that this was, and this is a trick, even the government in Minnesota, you cannot get charged with child endangerment because they say that there's no way that they can actually prove that cocaine or any drugs have an effect on an unborn child. Now, I'm thinking, how could you possibly not know that this poison that you're putting in your body would not be affecting your child? Now, I praise God for His healing, that my children are alive and well today, but it wasn't by any effort of my own. That's why I know God is real. But my son was so premature. He weighed 14 ounces. And I mean, you know, that's less than a pound. I could hold him in the palm of my hand. He could see through his skin, and he had a hole in his heart when he was born. He would, you know, had breathing apnea. He'd stop breathing, you know, every 15-20 minutes, just literally, excuse me, for long periods of time. My son was in the hospital for about 6 months after he was born. You know, things like that that I experienced in my addiction, and I really felt that my life would never ever amount to anything. I really believe that I had went so far down that there was no recovery for that. And it was God Himself that took me out of that situation, that lifted me up and elevated me. But what happened to me, Lisa, in my addiction and finding God inside of my addiction, was that I realized who I truly was. One of the things that I needed to discover was that I was a beautiful person before this. And even through this, it was my actions that were ugly. It wasn't the person who I was, you know, that was the ugly thing. It was the sin, you know, that was ugly. It was the pain that I went through. And one of the things that we talked about too last night is that we have to get to, when we see people that are addicts or hurting as such, we have to get to the source of where that pain is, you know. And we live in such a society, or at least I know in my family, where people want to push things under the carpet. They don't want to face the reality that their family is not what you're projecting it to be. I thought I had the best family on the planet.
Ray Charles is a father.
My great-great-grandmother being the first black freed slave in Ohio. She's in all of the history books. My grandfather worked 10 jobs. I mean, I had a very prominent family in Ohio. I mean, they built such a fortress around education, mm-hmm. around hard work and being, you know, integrity. Oh my gosh, you had to have the utmost integrity.
So nobody cared if you were hurting, though.
Right. And underneath all of that, we had sexual abuse, we had physical abuse, and nobody knew these things. Because it wasn't something you talked about.
Right.
You know? You didn't talk about if you were an alcoholic. My grandpa basically was an alcoholic, even though he worked 10 jobs. He, you know, made sure all his kids went to college, all of that kind of thing. Basically, he was an alcoholic. He was very, verbally abusive. Mm-hmm. I mean, back in the day, women spoke when they were spoken to and did what they were supposed to do. And the husband could do or say whatever he wanted. You know, I remember in my grandparents' home, all the adults would sit at the table and kids would sit at the table. The men were always served first. The women said nothing. And, you know, it didn't matter. They cooked, they cleaned, they did everything. And I mean, it was just not that that's a bad thing, but if you're living a life where you're hiding secrets in all of that, where you feel so threatened. But what, you know what I mean? What was the underlying threat in that? Why was my grandmother so fearful to talk about these things? Why was all my aunts and my uncles afraid to talk about that the older brother was molesting them all? And none of this came out until everybody was grown.
Why do you think they were?
I think because of shame, you know, which is one of the greatest gifts. And I speak a lot about spiritual things that the devil does is he tricks us into believing that these things are so shameful and so much our own fault. I always believe that all the molestation in my life I had men and women molest me in my young childhood. So I always thought that it was something that I had to do because it was everybody was doing something bad to me. It had to be me. Mm-hmm. You know, it had to be something. So I didn't want to talk about that because I didn't really want to hear that there was something wrong with me.
Right.
You know, so fear steps in and you cannot get past the fear until you realize that it isn't you. That it's nothing that you've done, that those people on the other end of this thing were the sick people, not you. And as a child, what happens is you know, you're afraid of the grown-ups. Grown-ups are supposed to take care of you. They're supposed to be your safe place. And you never lose sight of that little girl pain, even if you're 50. You know, when I look back on the hurt and the things that happened to me as a child, even at my age, I still look at them as a little girl. And the pain is still as such. It's huge. So when we talk about addiction and trying to get past it, as we spoke last night, we can't just always keep trying to address the alcohol or the drugs. We have to address what's underneath all of that.
When do you start to address that?
Because
you gotta get clean and sober first, too.
Well, you know what? The parents. You know, but immediately when I started drinking as a young age, wanting to continuously be high or wanted to come out of who I am. First of all, we should be so comfortable in our skin that we don't have to have anything to medicate us to get through the day. There's something wrong from the beginning. Is if you see your child beginning to have these things to compensate their lives in any way, you should be asking them, what is the problem? Why are you unhappy? What are you trying to cover up? Who's hurting you? Have I done something wrong? Which is the hardest question for any parent to ask. What am I doing wrong? We don't want to know. You know, it's hard.
Kids even tell you? Would you all tell if your parents ask you what's wrong? Would you tell them? Not really.
You try not to, but you know what? That also still, you still have to, you still have to try because you obviously know, but they don't want to tell. They, in their minds, they don't want to tell because they're afraid,
right.
But they do want to tell deep down inside because they want to be right. They want somebody to care and they want to know that you're not alone.
Right.
You know, it's a very lonely place when you start to feel the pains of things that happened to you that you had no control over. You know, it's a lonely place to be.
When did you start to realize, I mean, being Ray Charles' daughter, you think celebrities haven't made.
You
do. When did you start to realize that this, where can I go with all this hurt? When did you realize being Ray Charles' daughter wasn't a ticket out?
No, it wasn't a ticket out. And as a matter of fact, I think it added more to my pain.
Sure.
You know, every day of my life, I got caught up in the fact that the world knew Ray Charles. Everybody loved, even to this day, I travel the world and there's no little country or a hole in the wall that I can go to where they haven't heard the name of Ray Charles. It's crazy. I did not understand who my father was. My mom always used to say, do you know who you are? Do you know who your father was? Actually, no.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? I really didn't know or understand. And quite frankly, I really was pissed, excuse me for saying this, because he didn't want to know me.
Mm.
Why wouldn't my own father make an effort? Why did I have to reach out and say, Dad, I want a relationship with you? Now, mind you, you're flying my mother in all through the years to see you or meet with you, but you never say, I want to see my daughter? And so I didn't understand, see, that's because nobody talked to me about feelings.
Sure.
My mom didn't talk to me about feelings, and my grandparents sure didn't talk about feelings.
No, didn't you say last night they'd rather shoot somebody?
Yes. My grandpa would just say, well, somebody's hurting you, girl. Let me get my shot good.
Yeah. A counselor, well, what are you talking about?
Exactly. Yeah, we just shoot them. You don't need to go to no counseling. Well,
right.
That's the most ignorant thing I've ever heard, my grandpa would say. Everything was ignorant. If you had a feeling, it was ignorant. So nobody wanted to discuss about feelings. You know, and those things are real and they're not right and they're not wrong. They just are. And that's the thing is we have to take responsibility for as a parent in letting our child know that no matter how you feel and no matter who told you or said that you were bad or you were wrong or somebody was going to get hurt if he said anything, that there is nothing that would separate you from the love of your parent. See, that's why God is so awesome, because he parented us, and there's nothing that separates us from his love. Nothing.
Well, that is, wow. That is a big wow.
It is. It is.
That's the message right there.
Yes.
And don't go away, Radio Rehab. We will be right back to continue this conversation with Sheila Ray Charles today.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Opportunity to live what I speak.
Oh. We are back on air with Sheila Ray Charles and her friends. And you know what, Radio Rehab audience? Don't hesitate to call. We may ignore your call, but we want your... Because we are on fire here at Radio Rehab today with Sheila Ray Charles and her friends. But we want to hear from you. And don't hesitate to ask questions. Nothing is below the belt.
That's right.
Sheila Ray Charles and her fiance is going to talk about her book later in the show. But this is a woman that will answer your questions and wants to know what you need to know. So welcome back, Sheila.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much,
we were talking
Lisa.
About feelings.
Yes,
God.
And the validation of feelings is so very important. And when we grow up, when you grow up in a family life where those things are always subdued or they're hidden or they're swept under the carpet, it is a process to get back to being okay with having them. One of the things that is so good when you are inside of your addiction is that you completely medicate those feelings. I'm telling you right now, crack cocaine is the greatest thing. If you want to get rid of feelings, I could take it. I would be so sad and thinking about my kids being gone, my mama's dead, all the things, and take a crack hit, and every feeling in my body would disappear. I'd go numb to everything.
Did you start out with crack? Because one of the things we have here in our community is a lot of marijuana use, and there's a lot of crack addicts here that said they started with marijuana. Was that your experience?
No, I wish I could say that was true. Actually, a very close family member gave me my first crack hit on my 18th birthday, and it was the greatest thing I've ever experienced in my life. Now, I didn't continue to use after that. I had that one experience, but I never forgot it.
Right.
When I started to feel pain, actually after I had my second child, is I started having flashbacks of the molestation that I had when I was, I guess they call it postpartum depression.
Absolutely.
I started having flashbacks.
And
I started
PTSD.
Being depressed. And I didn't understand where these things were coming from. And my mom, talk to an old school about a postpartum depression.
Mm-hmm.
They will look at you like you are crazy.
Right.
They don't have, that's some new school stuff for them. They're not having it. Oh, we just have babies, and you have your child, and you raise your child, and there's not all that craziness, and you go through it, and you deal with it, and that's the way that it is.
Yeah.
So there was no talking to anybody in my family about it, and so I didn't know about it either. So I'm just thinking that I'm losing my mind.
Sure.
I thought I was losing my mind, and I thought maybe these flashes aren't real. That I was making them up because they were with people that I loved, you know. And that's the other thing. When you are a child and you experience devastation, you block those things out. You will bury them. And so when they start, and I guarantee you 99.9% of every addict has experienced some kind of form of abuse. Something has happened to them. I know 100% of the women in prison that I talked to.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't get to talk to them all. All were molested.
Mm-hmm. Or physically abused, for sure.
All of them.
Beat up.
I said, is there not one woman in here that I've spoken with that has not been molested by a man? Not one of them were. Every single one of them were.
As a child.
And so those things, what do you do with those things? What do you do with those feelings? And what do you do? Again, going back to, it's got to be you. It's got
to
be something
wrong.
Yes.
Like, I've already been abused by my uncle.
Exactly. And it's like a disease. Nobody wants to talk about that. And that's a real problem.
Yes.
It's a real issue.
Young people, when they're going through things like that, they use that form of forgetting, putting it back away from them as a way of surviving.
Absolutely. You go crazy. That's why I'm saying when those thoughts and those memories started coming back, I thought I was going crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I had nobody to talk to about it.
Right. Reverend Brooks, Tony, when men hear women talk about this stuff, Reverend Adrian.
LaBelle, yeah.
Does it bother you as men when you hear women talk about men that abuse them growing up?
It bothers me because it really, in some women's mind, all men are suspect men at that point.
And, that's right. And, you're right, sir.
It really is a sad thing because there are a lot of good men that love their wives and love their children and their nieces and nephews and
and it's not perverted.
Yeah, and it's not perverted. And so, it's even as a pastor, we have to be very careful. Even when children run up to me and hug me, I turn sideways just because, you know, everybody's so suspect.
You don't want to give a mixed message.
Yeah. I wanted to say this. I was thinking about something Sheila said, and even last night, she was talking about her change came when she hit rock bottom there in federal prison. And I thought about a quote that Nelson Mandela made many years ago, and he said, "You will remain the same until the pain of remaining the same is greater than the pain of change."
Hallelujah.
So there's pain in where you are, and it's also pain and change. But you've got to figure out which one is going to shift you, you know.
That's
and so
right.
At that point,
that's right.
You made
and
the
embracing
change.
The change.
Yeah.
And that's why it's key that we, as people that have a passion for helping people in recovery, you know, let people know that the change is greater. That's why it's important for you to celebrate in your recovery. And that that's why God was so important in my change. Because it's, I could be sober, but there's no joy. And I found that, and like I said, I don't want to be an AA basher or any of that stuff. I found that a lot of people that are in recovery or in some kind of form of rehab, there's no joy there. They're sober, but they're not happy. And that's where God comes in, because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And God will fill you with that joy so that you can persevere through your recovery. You have to have it to survive. I could be sober, but if I'm miserable, one day I'm going back. There's no way.
For you, the real change was that you were willing to change.
Willing to change and willing to allow God to come in and do the work that he needed to do inside of me, which that work was allowing me to see who I really was. Not who I had been dictated about who I was all my life. My mom, now she was a great person that would say, oh, you're the best at this, you're the best at this, and you can do this and you can do that. But when you go to school or when you're walking down the street or people are very cruel. Mm-hmm. As you grow up in a child. And so you don't embrace the positive. You embrace the negative. Oh, well, you're this, you're that. Why don't you have this? Why don't you live in a mansion? Why don't you have this? You're Ray Charles. I never told anybody I was Ray Charles's daughter. It was more painful for people to know because of the expectations that they had in my life than to just not say anything.
I would have thought you'd have bragged it from the roof.
Oh, no. Why? Why? And have to answer 30,000 questions about what I don't have. Why aren't you? Oh, well, you're right. I used to make up stories then. Well, I really do live in a mansion, but right now I'm staying at my auntie's house living in the projects. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. Whatever it took to make me be accepted.
So you saw beauty in yourself while you were in prison?
I found beauty in Christ. Yes, I did. Yes,
so and it was. You found freedom in prison.
Freedom. I was free on the inside.
Yeah.
Hey, may I ask, Sheila, just for the women listeners out there, was it hard for you to talk to God because all these other men had done these things to you? Did you see God as a man and you were like, can you love me because all these other men have done this thing?
So very true. And so very fearful of if God is a man. Is it going to be a perverted love? What's going to be the expectation that God wants from me? That's why I tell when I tell my testimony about God saying, I need something from you, I'm scared of what that is. Because most men in my life, whatever it was that they wanted from me, it wasn't right. And going back and digressing back to that childlike mentality. Yes, it is. It was hard to talk to God. But I understood now. Now I understand God isn't as small
as
we try to make him.
That's right.
He's huge and he's a spirit. He's male. He's female.
That's right.
You know what I mean? I didn't understand that God could be your mama, your daddy, your uncle, your lover, your husband. He's all encompassed in this beautiful thing. Right. And he's accepting of us for who we are, not like your mom or your daddy, your neighbor, your brother, who has an expectation of what they want you to be.
Amen. Mm-hmm. All right.
You know what I'm saying? And they have no control. That's the difference between God and man. God had control. God created us. God made us perfectly. Mm-hmm. He didn't make no mistakes. Even that's why he says, come as you are, because guess what? He already knows what that is. Mm-hmm. He knows what that is.
And I want to say this in the area of God, because it can get kind of
diverse
there. Yeah, Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life.
Yes.
And the flesh profits nothing." So when God was speaking to her and requiring something of her, he was requiring an interchange.
Yes.
And that's what she's saying. Mm-hmm. So it was nothing like a physical man's love. You know, it was nothing like anything that she had gone through with a man. This was an internal change that brought about an external shift in her life. And she got to know God and be reconciled back to him to be the Sheila Ray that God has made her today.
That's right.
She's a great woman of God.
That's right. That's right. And
can
it's
I
awesome.
Can I ask your fiance something?
You may.
Are you going to change your last name, Tony, to Charles? What's it like to run around the country with this woman?
No, I'm not.
You're not?
She keeps it real.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
So they are, at Radio Rehab, they are going to be getting married tomorrow, for better or for worse.
Yes.
He can't do no better. She can't do no worse. No.
That's right.
So they are going to get married forever.
Yes.
And they love each other, and it's obvious if you were here in the studio to feel their love. Tony, what... Are you in recovery also? Do you understand what she went through?
Yes, I do understand. I did 8.5 years in corrections. And so now going back, we minister together. And so there's a lot of conversations. There's a lot of, you know, our meditation time. It's we have a deeper understanding of each other and that pain and the growing pains, because when you grow into something, into your greater self, you have to grow out of something.
That's right.
And a lot of times that's a painful transition, because you're actually tearing learned behavior, so you have to unlearn. And so having someone with you that's able to go through those growing pains with you and you with them, it's a blessing.
So you two are really a team.
Yes.
You're partners.
And see, I think is, with you, Sheila, you know, I think women still are a little bit more verbal about those things that bother them. But I think it's very hard for men to speak up those things that have gotten them to the same place, you know, in their life. I mean, you're talking about a secret society. I'm a man, so I really can't talk about that.
That's right.
That is one of the things that are happening to our young men today.
That's right.
They don't speak of it. We don't.
Secrets kill.
Get involved
secrets
in it.
Will kill you.
You know, women will get in your business and try to, you know, talk with you. Now they can, you know, fight or flight, but you know, you can get in their faces. Men just keep it. Boys, young men out here are keeping a lot of hurt. And so they, therefore, are hurting others, not only just by medicating, by physical things that they're doing out here.
Yes. Hurt people hurt people.
That's right.
That's right.
So do you get to the boys? Is that your mission, to go to these boys and say, hey, it's okay to be real?
Yeah, it's okay. And I think a lot of times the loudest thing that we can say or teach is not what we say. It's the walk that we live. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, going back in there and being able to share with them, this is where I was at not so long ago. Mm-hmm. And this is what it took for me. Mm-hmm. You know, and like you said, letting them know, even in talking to them, crying in front of them, mm-hmm. letting them know that that's okay. It's okay to express this. It's okay.
And it doesn't take away from your manhood. The old school, again, my grandparents, I wish my grandpa would have shed a tear. Mm-hmm. He probably shot himself because he thought that would have been the most unmanly thing to do.
To have a feeling.
My grandparents were married for 50 years, and my grandpa wouldn't cry at my grandmother's funeral, and I believe he cried in private. Mm-hmm. But to let somebody else see you cry, to let somebody else know that you have feelings or that you might have a vulnerable side, mm-hmm. you know, and humbling, look at what the Lord says, is to humiliate yourself, to become humble in his presence, so that, you know, in your lowliness, he can elevate you. And that is the thing that we have to get to when we're dealing with our problems, is to release that. You have to become humble. You have to open up and let it go. You know, that's one of the, I think that's what makes cancer. I'm sure of it. Holding that pain and that suffering and those things inside will kill you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Tony, you want to tell us real quick how we can get a hold of the book and a little about the book?
Yes, please, if you will, go to SheilaRayCharles.com and make sure you purchase the book, the CD. She has skincare products that are in development and on the way, and just come open the book and share the life of my queen, and I'm sure that you'll be inspired.
One of the things I want to I've never been married before. Imagine that. I know.
I've been asked 50 times to get married, but it was all my mother and father.
Okay.
She said, get married.
You know what? It's amazing, and I'm so glad that I did wait for the right person, because, you know, I could have been divorced 50 times at
this
point.
Would your dad like him?
Oh, he would have loved him.
I think
yeah.
Right.
Because my father, I even though our relationship was wayward, and my father did have a deep love for his children. Mm-hmm. He loved the best way he could. Now imagine, he's been raised by an institution from the time he was young. He was put into the institution for the blind. Mother died at a very young age. So he didn't have a real parental
structure
to go from, you know. He never missed a check, never missed a child support payment, but when it came to time, it just wasn't there. And we, all of us, all 12 of us kids, have talked about the desire and the hunger that we had to spend time with our father. He was a genius. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you want to be around the presence of a genius and learn and absorb? And I thank God I did have moments of those times where I got to, and I tried to suck up all that I could with him. But it's so very important that we, when we try to keep our children from a life of addiction or from the pain, is that we talk to them. Every child, and I don't care whether the parent's in jail or in prison or in, I never could understand that, why people wouldn't want their kids to come to prison and see them or whatever, because kids don't care. I would have wanted to see my parents in a cardboard box if I had to, just to get the nurturing that I need, because it's not the place that you're at. Mm-hmm. It's the presence that creates the difference in your life.
So you think it's okay to take kids to visit their parents?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That child, I mean, you know, that you go through a, you go through a thing where the kids don't want to leave their parents at first. They don't want to leave them there, and you're going to have some of that. Mm-hmm. But eventually, once they begin to understand the process of that, it's better for them to see the parent than just not see them at all. I've seen that on the inside, and it's good for the parent. It also gives the parent a reason to want to do better. Mm-hmm. You know, for me, they were telling me, you'll never see your kids. So I didn't have much hope when I came out. There wasn't really too much for me to live for, or too much for me to be sober for. Mm-hmm. You know, so.
And then there's Most Complete.
Blue 42, Seth!
Like what you get.
You're listening to Radio Rehab, the most informative substance abuse program on the airways. Your host is Lisa Seif, who's the director of the Ward County Court Substance Abuse Program. You can pick up the phone right now and give Lisa a call at 812-424-1400, or if you're outside of Evansville, it's 1-888-846-7867. Radio Rehab. And now, here's Lisa Seif.
Thank you for tuning in. This has been so exciting. I wish we could go another hour. We have Sheila Ray Charles, her husband Tony, as of tomorrow. They're celebrating their pre-marriage hours countdown as we speak. Yes. And Debbie, you had a really good question of Sheila before break.
Yes. Sheila, because you have been through all of this as a young girl, you know, that 13, 14-year-old level, you know, nowadays the girls are, and guys, they put up this defense. These fences that you just can't seem to get through. And you know that they're hurting, there things are going on. How do we break down those fences so that we can reach them before they get to the 30s and the 40s and they're so far out there it just feels like you can't get them back?
The main thing, if I could drive anything home, is letting them know that their feelings are validated. That just because you don't like the way that they feel doesn't mean that they're not right. See, we try to parent and we get mad at the kids. Why do you feel that way? Why are you? Because our own insecurity. You know, but we have to say, we understand. I understand that you're hurting. I understand that you're angry. And I see that you need to express yourself. And it's okay. to express yourself. But why can't, let's try to find a way for you to express yourself, excuse me, in a way that it's not painful for you and I, and work through this thing together. Kids just want to know that they are validated for who they are, no matter how screwed up
even
that is. Even when they're wrong, they need to know that
they're precious.
That their feelings aren't right and they're not wrong, they just are.
But many of them are right now from the, hey, how you doing?
Yes.
Cut you directly off. It's the eye, it's the posture. They will actually walk out of a room. You know,
that's a red flag. Something serious is happening in their lives. Mm-hmm. Kids will put up a wall so that they can get through and survive, as we talked about earlier. That's what we all do. That's why I started using drugs. It wasn't, I had to put up some kind of defense mechanism to survive the hell that I was going through, the secret hell. See, people that are angry, just naturally angry and walking around in life trying to rebel against everything, mm-hmm. there's a secret that's happening in their lives that they don't feel that they can share with anybody. So they stay mad, they stay angry, and they're mad at the world, and quite frankly, they should be. Mm-hmm. So they should be because somebody in their reality is not protecting them.
So we need to stay the course with them, whether
you
they
have
want us to or not.
You have to stick through it. You have to keep showing love covered a multitude. Mm-hmm. You know, love covers. So if you can continue to love them in spite of their imperfection, as God does to us, mm-hmm. then you're sending a huge message of them saying, okay, at some point I can break down, because they got something to say, mm-hmm. but they're afraid. You know, it's like the first time I told somebody what was happening to me as a little girl, that I had been molested and all that. It was my mother, God bless her soul, said, well, what did you do to bring it on? But that was her defense mechanism. Because my mother knew that she was an alcoholic. My mother knew that many times she wasn't present or just was partying or doing whatever and was not there when she needed to be there to protect me. Now, I wasn't trying to blame her or kick her butt, but in some ways I was. I just wanted her to acknowledge the fact that this thing was real and it really happened to me. And no, I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. But the pain was, it was too painful for her to receive the fact that she might have been in the wrong somewhere. So we have to deal with
love
that.
Love these little darlings, even when they're unlovable.
Love them, even when they're unlovable, because no matter how unlovable somebody is, they still deserve to be loved. Mm-hmm. And if, especially as lovers of God, lovers of Christ, we have a reasonable duty to continually love. Love is the fulfillment of the law. We don't live under the laws of the law. God said the law was good, but guess what? We have one royal law. The royal law is to love your God with your whole heart, to love yourself, and to love your neighbor. And if we could just do that, if we could get that right,
what a world.
Yeah. What a world we would live in. What a world.
Well, Sheila, speaking of royalty.
Yes.
We've got Sheila number two here from the governor's office.
Killebrew. Sheila Killebrew.
Yes, Sheila K. here with Sheila Ray Charles, her to-be husband, and a great team. Lisa, I just want to tell you, in Evansville, you've got some awesome people here pushing to help the community, to minister to those that need help, and to let them know that, hey, you haven't done anything so bad that God can't pull you up out of. The one good thing about Sheila Ray is that she has put herself and surrounded herself around Christian individuals, me being one of them, and she has a management team. She has a manager in Minnesota. It's apparent that her husband is going to be a manager, and then I'm a team member in the management. What we would like to do is, now that we're here in Evansville, when she comes to Indiana, we try to get her into as many places as we possibly can, because we want to touch the number. Mm-hmm. To heal folks and let them know that they can be loved. What I would like to do is give you my information. All of Evansville, Kentucky, and anyone else that is listening, you can contact me. Sheila will pray for you.
Yes.
She will get back with you. Once again, keep in mind that you can purchase her CDs and her book on SheilaRayCharles.com. But for me being the queen that I am, because my father is a king, mm-hmm. Jesus Christ, my God.
Hallelujah.
All right. My email address is youareroyalty, that is youareroyalt13@ yahoo.com. And my telephone number is 317-332-1482.
Say that one more time.
Yes. You are royalty. It's youaruroyalty13 at yahoo.com. Telephone number once again is 317-332-1482. And Sheila travels throughout the United States, so she can have as many management team if we are fit. And that's what she's looking for, because she also has to be inspired.
That is
and we
awesome.
Have to, we have to
a
keep
management
her.
Management team.
Yeah,
somebody's
management
calling
team.
In. Hold
yes,
on.
All right.
You mentioned royalty management team.
All right.
There you go. Hi, welcome to Radio Rehab.
Yeah, what kind of, I just wondered what kind of relationship Sheila had with her children. And what advice you would give to them?
Oh, that
great
is wonderful.
Question,
thank
Doug,
you so
thank
much
you.
For asking that. Well, you know, as I spoke last night, within my addiction, I lost all custody of all five of my children, but God is restoring back that relationship. I will be seeing my oldest daughter has been back in my life since she was 16. She's now 21. I don't know how that happened. I'm only 29. She's trying to catch up, trying to catch up with me. And then my youngest daughters, 16-year-old and 12-year-old, and it's been almost 11 years. I will get to see them on the 19th of this month. The Lord has opened up that door. It was an amazing, that's a miracle in itself. It's another show we'll get back to. But my advice to my children would always be, first and foremost, is please tell. Please tell. Not telling my whole life caused me a lifetime of pain, an entire lifetime of pain by not telling, not sharing, not, you know, being able, no matter how hard it is, no matter how scary it is, no matter how painful it may be to the people around you, you have to let people know when bad things are happening to you as a child, because it's important. Somebody's going to care, whether it's your parent, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a counselor, whether, I mean, you know, when I was in school, there was counselors and there was, guidance counselors and people like that at school that really cared about the kids that I could have went and talked to, but my fear stopped me. So I think it's important that you as a parent, sir, let your child know that there is nothing that could happen to them or nothing that they could do that would ever separate you for your love for them.
Did you get that? You still there, Doug? So, Sheila, you're saying please tell.
Please
tell. And that's
tell.
A great way for us to close a wonderful hour with you. Do you mean please tell just when bad things are happening, or please tell anything that you're feeling or
tell
thinking?
Tell anything, and know that your feelings are real and they're validated and they're important.
Yes.
You're important. People need to let their kids know that they are important. We live in such a quick, fast society. Sometimes we don't even give our kids the attention they need. We're always moving too fast. We're going. It's a huge thing with me. My daughter calls me all the time, Mom, you're on the road, and I love the life that you're living, and I love that you've been changed, but can't you call me every now and then? She's 22. I'm thinking she don't want her mama calling her, talking about, hey, baby, I love you, you know, and interfering with her life. My daughter calling, Mom, I still need you to acknowledge me, that I'm important in your life, that I'm making a difference in who you are.
Sheila's message to us in Evansville, Indiana, and all around the world is to be involved,
right.
To love,
yeah, right.
To pray. To talk.
To talk.
So, Sheila, we've got 2 minutes left. Please leave us with a couple of minutes of your spirit.
Wow. I have to tell you that God is great. He is the answer. He is the truth. He is the life. He is everything that he said he's going to be. And if there's any message that I can convey to anybody, is seek ye the kingdom of heaven first. Mm-hmm. And trust me, God will give the increase. I never believed that after 20 years that I would ever be able to walk away from the pipe or walk away from the lifestyle that I was living. It became such a huge part of who I was. But God changed me. He rearranged me, and his love covered me. covered me, and he never left me, nor did he forsake me. In spite of all of the things that I had done, God was always there, and he's not a respecter of persons. He is that same person with every individual.
So why do some people that pray so piously and fervently still stay addicted?
Because they pray with empty expectation. There's no way to get around it. God said when you pray as if it's already done. Mm-hmm. I don't pray and get up and go, boy, hope God will do that for me.
Change my time.
It totally takes away from the power of the prayer. Right. There's power in prayer. So if I'm praying to God, God who's all-knowing, God who's all-powerful, God who's all-merciful, and God who is all-able to do what he said he was going to do, why would I get up in any form except for knowing that it's already done?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And sometimes God will do it, what you need to have done in your life. It's just not the way you want him to, so mm-hmm. we don't think God has done it. Trust me, he's going to do what he needs to do to make your life what it should be in him.
Awesome. Amen. Pray with the expectation.
That's right.
And Reverend Adrian, thank you for bringing this spirit that's in here today.
Well,
and for you recognizing there's a need for us to talk and hear more from people, experts, about substance abuse.
Well, today is my birthday.
Happy birthday to you.
This is a birthday gift to Evansville. So
happy birthday.
Somebody's life is going to be changed.
Amen. And we're going back to Muncie, Indiana, where we will be celebrating. Sheila Ray Charles will be doing an event tonight for Pastor Lavelle, Adrian, for his birthday.
Oh, yes. Good. And will you bring her back?
Sure. If she wants to come back, good. Which I think she does.
I do. Good. I do
thank
want to come back.
So much.
You.
Radio Rehab, this has been a real treat. We're going to have to sign off for now. Please say a prayer for our friend in the recovering community,
yes.
Mike Wickware, that passed away this week.
We're
going to miss him. He's been on Radio Rehab, just a real, real bright spot of recovery.
Amen.
Thank you for tuning in. Don't forget, between now and next week, to do the next right thing.